Hello, loyal listeners. We'll be having a Comedy Nerds comedy show featuring live performances from some of our favorite sketch groups and stand-ups, many of which you've heard right here on this very show. So for details of that, I'm going to throw it over to my co-host, Dustin.
Thanks, Dan. The show will be July 10th and August 14th at Coco 66 in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. Show starts at 8 o'clock. You can check our website, thecomedynerds.com, for more details.
Yep, come check that out. We'll see you there.
Comedy nerds is what I like. And Dustin and Dan, Dustin and Dan are on the mic. They interview, cause they got guests and they will school you about comedy, comedy, ha, 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 ha. Comedy nerds, I wanna know all what they know. This is the Comedy, Comedy Nerd Show. Comedy, comedy, ha, ha, nerds, ha, ha. What's so funny, they'll tell you so. Ha, 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 nerds.
I have deduced from that theme song that you're listening to the Comedy Nerds.
Yes.
I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Dustin Diodato.
And Dustin, we have a great guest.
Yes.
I cannot wait to talk to this guy. Tell the audience at home who we got.
We have the comics comic himself, Sean McCarthy. How you doing?
Hello, nerds.
How you doing?
I'm great.
I'm going to call you a nerd as well. You might not be one of the comedy nerds that host this podcast, but you are definitely a comedy nerd in your own right.
Oh, well, thank you.
and I love that you appreciate me saying that.
Sean writes the blog, The Comics Comic.
It's
a fantastic blog that I read all the time.
Yeah, no, if you could only read one comedy blog, I would say that's the one. That will give you all the information you need to know.
And it's on the internet.
Yeah.
It is.
Wherever you have internet, it is there.
It formerly was a newspaper, right? And then you you went the way of Vibe.
I believe actually Thomas Jefferson began it. It was originally leaflets that he handed out about various comedy shows happening around Philadelphia. And then you took over at some point.
I did. I started with Telegraph, and that was tricky.
Yeah.
It had its bumps and its dashes.
People get confused and be like, interview with Dane Cook, stop. and that's always hard too.
People also confuse the telegram phase with the telegraph phase.
Right. No, Oh, right. Well, I thought weren't telegrams. I thought telegrams telegraph was involved with the telegram. Is that wrong?
This is riveting.
No, I thought it was though. I thought that people would be like dee, 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 and then the other person in there would write it down and they'd be like, here, take this, and then the person would run and they'd have a little hat on. And then it'd be like the 30s, and it was depression. Everyone was sad, but a guy would run through the city and then would deliver a telegram. Is that wrong? And then a Broadway show was opening, and then the star of the show broke her leg, so the new kid had to go on, and she became a star. That's my understanding of history. I could be wrong.
So what is your vision of how a telegraph became the telephone and then the television?
I believe somebody spilled something and yelled for someone else, and they were like, oh, a telephone. That works. By now it's the 40s, I believe. And then television came along because somebody was like, we need to have the facts of life. I got an idea for something. It's called The Facts of Life. It's about five girls who live in a house, and they go to school somehow. I never really quite understood how that show worked, but anyway, and they invented television. I believe that's how it worked.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, John. We're about out of time, but I'm glad we got to the two
nerds.
Anyway, Sean, why don't you tell us about your comedy blog and what you do? And actually, no, let's take it back. Did you start your fantastic comedy blog? What was the impetus for that?
Well, for many years, I was a child, and then I grew out of that slowly.
Fortunately.
I grew out of that phase and became a large man baby.
Okay.
And for most of my adult life, I was a newspaper reporter. And during the 1990s, the glory years of my life, I got involved in improv and stand-up comedy in Seattle. And I was doing that on the side and also being a newspaper reporter. And then a funny thing happened where people stopped buying newspapers because they could read them on the internet.
Yeah.
Well, but started paying for comedy so much more. Oh, wait. Anyway, finish your story while I cry in the corner.
In between then and there and here and now, I was writing about comedy for newspapers, both in print and then online. I started a comedy blog when I was at the Boston Herald. I had a weekly comedy column in addition to the blog. And then I moved to New York a couple years ago, and I was working for the Daily News and started a comedy blog there. And then when I left the Daily News, I thought, well, I don't know that there's any more newspaper jobs out there, but there's certainly room for a national comedy blog, which I didn't really see anyone doing. Mm-hmm.
Now, wait, I'm sorry. So you did a comedy blog at the New York Daily News?
Yes, the New York Daily News.
What was that like? I never saw it. Like, what was?
Well, it was.
You're not supposed to say that.
Well, I don't know. How long ago was this?
This was in 2007.
Oh.
See, you're a jerk now. You could have just played along, and you would have been fine.
Well, no, but I'm just, I'm curious. Like, I'm actually impressed the Daily News, which I believe covers Wacko Jacko and the sports scores. I'm impressed they had a comedy blog. Maybe I was wrong about what they do over there.
Well, it only lasted for a few months, so apparently they weren't that impressed.
But that was a few good months.
They were not that impressed.
Yeah.
They're like... They said to me, Sean, you seem to be spending a lot of time on this comedy blog of yours and not so much time on actual newspaper stories.
I see. Okay.
So.
Was it similar to the comics comic as it is now, or was it different?
How was it different? The blog that I did for both the Daily News and for the Boston Herald were more kind of focused on what's happening there. Mm-hmm. So what was happening in New York, or what was happening in Boston. And when I left, I decided, what if I just expanded what I was writing about comedy and just really covered it like an actual performing art?
Mm-hmm. What
it is a performing art. Yeah. I mean,
well, what I realized was that every one of the performing arts has media coverage throughout the world and mm-hmm. throughout the nation. Every paper has someone who writes about music, somebody who writes about art, somebody who writes about movies, somebody who writes about theater. But there's nobody writing about comedy anywhere. Yeah. Some papers, they might have somebody who interviews comedians every once in a while when they come into town to play the local Funny Bone or the Improv. But there's nobody who really covers comedy on a full-time basis as if it were any of the other performing arts.
Right. No, it's treated like one of the more disposable of the performing arts. You know, that somebody comes in, says they're a little funny thing, and it's not that hard to do, and it's, you know, it's not something that merits praise. I guess, but right. I mean, it clearly is, you know, and you're building a national audience from it.
I'm trying to. Well, what really kind of tipped the scales for me was when I saw years ago the Los Angeles Times created a porn beat, and they assigned two reporters to cover the adult entertainment industry because they realized it's a $1 billion business, everybody's buying porn, and most of it's being done in the Los Angeles area, so they actually decided to cover it, and yet... Even after that, comedy is not worth covering.
Yeah, well,
it's less on the scale than porn.
I'm going to be honest with you. Your average web surfer probably does spend more time on porn than on comedy news.
Right. But that's.
But if you think there's not enough to write about comedy, how much can you write about porn?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm pitching a couple of things right now.
That's true.
I don't want to get too into it, but. I hope you're wrong, I guess is my point.
Well, I mean, that's a great point. If you look at, like, the Sunday New York Times, you know, you go to the art section, there's a music section, there's a theater section, there's a movie section, there's a TV section. But then why is there no comedy section? You know, why? At least one page of, like, here's what's going on. You know, here's one review of some big comedy show. And there's nothing. There's nothing like that.
No, they'll do a profile if there's a comedian in the news or doing something big on TV or movies, mm-hmm. or every once in a while the New York Times will follow a comedian around at night and go, "We spent a night with."
Yeah.
You mean when he went to the comedy club, did his set, and then went home? That's
although one of the much, you know, like, one of the best comedy things I ever read, I believe, was in the New York Times, which was when Jerry Seinfeld threw out all his material and started writing new stuff, and they basically followed him around for, you know, whatever, 12 hours. He had a show that he was going to do all new stuff that he wrote that day, like 8 o'clock that night, and they just followed him around and talked about his process. And it actually was a fantastic article. He basically was just like, even the great Jerry Seinfeld, you could see him just being like, so bagels, what's the deal with anything in there? Anything funny about bagels? Like, you know, just desperately trying to come up with anything because he had to go on stage in like 12 hours and talk, you know, and do like a 7-minute set or something like that. And it was really great.
I've done that a bunch of times. Yeah. Like, crap, I've got nothing new. So
what's the deal with comedy podcasting?
So here's what I've noticed about your particular blog. You're just one man. You know, you're just doing your thing. And somehow I've seen you scoop, you know, Entertainment Weekly, like newspapers. Like, how do you, one man, find out this information before anybody else?
Well, I kind of treat it like it's my beat. I mean, my background is as a newspaper reporter and as a journalist. And when I covered the city council in Twin Falls, Idaho, yes, I did. I did that. And now I'm here in Astoria.
Yes.
All the way.
In the luxurious Comedy Nerd studio. I don't know what you're talking about.
But when I covered the city council in Twin Falls, Idaho, even though they only had meetings once a week, I was at City Hall every day talking to city employees and, you know, trying to find out what's going on. And really, it's the same thing with comedy. You know, you go out to the comedy clubs, you're talking to comedians, you're following everybody's blogs, everybody's Twitter.
So you read the Comedy Nerds every day, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Nice.
That's that look like. I didn't. There's a blog associated with it?
I had no idea.
It's a podcast and a vlog?
Yeah. It's a very pretty website, I'm just saying.
It's prettier than mine.
Thank you. I want to take credit for something I had nothing to do with. Thank you. We work very hard on making the website look nice. Thank you.
Yes.
Appreciate that.
One day I'll put more content on it. But right now, focusing on pretty.
Yeah.
You're the journalist. I'm the designer.
Yeah. Right. I am just a journalist. So I work the beat. I talk to people every day. And, you know, eventually, you know, I think what happens is just with anything else, if you're talking, if I'm talking to you every day, Dustin, and you begin to...
Which I would love. You can call me. I'll give you my phone number. I mean, we should get drinks.
But if we have a rapport, even if we're not friends, but we have a friendly rapport and you trust me and you see that the stuff that I write on the Comics Comic is not a bunch of hoo-ha, although sometimes I do write about hoo-ha. Yeah. In fact, I should write more about hoo-ha. That would get me some traffic. If I wrote more note to self, more hoo-ha. But if you trust me and you realize that I'm not just looking to score some dirty, salacious gossip about you, and you find out about something, you might be more willing to talk to me because you realize that I'm going to do something good with it.
So do you find that people reach out to you? You know, I mean, because I'm sure that, you know, there's the lower level of comics. There's the me's of the world who are like, oh, wow, I got mentioned on... You know, and whatever, which I haven't, but that's, you know, we'll deal with that some other time. You know, there are people who are specifically reaching out to you on the lower level, but do you find also that the, you know, the Patton Oswalts or the Dane Cooks or, you know, whatever of the world are reaching out to you because they know that you're a good way to get their news out?
On occasion. I think it's the same thing that happens with any of these new media things, whether you're talking about somebody like Perez Hilton, for example. I mean, He's built himself up to be such a brand in celebrity salacious gossip that people turn to him, people feed him new gossip all the time. So a lot of his work is already done now.
Yeah.
Him and TMZ. I read something about in the Washington Post about TMZ breaking all of the Michael Jackson stuff and all of the other stuff that they break. And it's because they built themselves up to be such a brand to be trusted in a way that whether it's the U's of the world or the not U's of the world or the U2's of the world, so to speak, that they'll just pitch you stuff.
Do you get slutted up by a lot of people, like, you know, where they, you know, where they want you to say it in a certain way?
No, but okay. I have noticed over the past year and a half that I get more out and out PR pitches from people on behalf of TV shows. A lot of it's that stuff is for TV shows. They're like, hey, look, we've got this great viral video for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Okay. I'm like, yeah, okay.
do you post them or are you like, listen, I haven't, you know, I'm not, I don't appreciate what you're trying to say.
Well, I'll post something if it's relevant to the world of comedy.
Okay.
A lot of times, though, what's funnier is I'll get pitches from people after I've already posted what they want me to pitch, which is it's great news to me because it means they're reading the comics comic.
Do you think you're just
why don't
on?
You just know.
Do you think
if you just clicked on it yesterday, you would see?
Is that just because you're
Google
on
Google Reader? I'll show you how to use it.
I don't know how this works. But is that...
Actually, we were talking before about how off air about how it's difficult to get necessarily even people who are more on your inner circle to read things. Where it's there are people who you've never met who are all of a sudden reading it every day, but other people who have no idea. And I find it so crazy when they're like, "Well, I don't get a chance to check." And it's like Google Reader, it'll be waiting for you. You can just go once a week. You don't have to check. So people out there, try Google Reader. I guess is my point. I'm breaking the story up right now, but just because it's so simple.
I use Google Reader.
Yeah,
it's really nice. I also use Google Reader. It's nice.
And Google Alerts.
Thank you.
I find out a lot of news through Google Alerts.
Yeah.
Really?
You don't know Google Alerts?
I know Google Alerts. I just usually associate with people having Google Alerts for themselves.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, like, I'll look for keywords and then just get random stories from other places.
My sketch group is called Secret Hospital, and so I have a Google Alert thing set up for Secret Hospital. And I'll say Secret Hospital, the phrase Secret Hospital shows up a lot in video game reviews and anime. And I don't know why, but
there's
constantly.
There's a Secret Hospital.
Yeah. And then
turn left at the Secret Hospital.
And then this person is trapped in a Secret Hospital somewhere below the, I don't know, and then crazy anime stuff happens. But it's very strange.
Or just where the words end up together, like, let me tell you a secret. Hospital.
My secret is hospital. That's what I had to say.
Hospital care is not what it used to be.
Yeah, there's a lot of like scandals with secret hospital records show up sometimes, but it's mostly like if I were to believe Google Reader, 85% of video games involve some sort of a secret hospital because it's constantly popping up in discussions and reviews of video games.
I mean, we were also talking off the air about how you just recently had an interview with Dane Cook.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Dane Cook. 2.5 million MySpace friends.
Nice. That's way... That's
which is
what?
More people than are, who are actually on MySpace.
Yeah. Who use it anymore. How do you go about like being like, hey, Dane, I have this blog. Come on my show. How did you reach out to him first? Did you go through his publicist or...?
Previous times I interviewed him, I was a newspaper reporter, so it was all worked through publicists. This most recent time where I talked to him about Isolated Incident, the groundbreaking CD and DVD. why am I plugging it?
We did a whole episode about
it.
It
was...
Actually, how this most recent interview came about was I had made fun of him for being late to the Twitter fad.
Okay.
And he read that post and he emailed me and was like, hey, I saw you zing me.
That he was reading your blog, though.
Yeah, but so that was nice and let me know that he was reading it. And
it's probably Google Alerts that alerted him to the fact that it was on there. Or maybe he reads it. Actually, I would hope that he reads it.
Why do you always got to ruin the magic?
No, Dane Cook reads... I didn't get him to officially plug it, but...
Right.
But he has plugged it on his Twitter since.
Oh, okay.
So it's official. If you go to twitter.com/Dane Cook, again, I'm plugging a guy who does not need to be plugged.
Although
Comedy Nerds would suggest someone needs to plug Dane Cook.
Yeah.
Comedy Nerds would say that.
I would say that.
I don't even know what that means.
Are you a fan of Dane Cook?
Oh, I was like, that's a nice dramatic pause. Are you a fan of Comedy Nerds? Yes. Of Dane Cook? Yes, but I think...
It's a tough one.
This podcast is going to go off the rails.
We wanted to. That's the idea.
Yeah, that's fine.
There are no rails. We don't have any. We don't learn anything before. We don't research or come up with questions. So everything's on the rails for us.
Yeah.
Or off the rails or whatever analogy.
Remember
you
my crazy
use.
Telegraph thing before? Most shows would have cut that out. Not us.
Well,
that's still in the show.
Oh, that's going in.
That's still in the show.
Yeah, that's.
I literally only edit if there's an audio dropout. Otherwise, forget
Whoa.
It.
Screw it.
This is solid gold.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of the reason I bring it up? You don't have to necessarily answer that question because obviously he listens to the Comedy Nerds. but have you found yourself in a position where you have an opportunity to talk to a big comedian that you're not necessarily a fan of and you do it anyway? Or
I've interviewed Carlos Mencia, if that's what you're asking.
Okay. How was that?
It was on the phone, so it was probably easier that way. Because if you're face to face with someone who you don't much care for, mm-hmm. and you're wondering why am I giving this person additional press, mm-hmm. Then that can be kind of difficult. But it was over the phone, and he was very defensive, anyhow. So that always is, makes for a fun time.
Is it tough too if you're interviewing someone like that? Like, did you ask him questions he wasn't necessarily happy with, or was it all fluffy?
Well, when I talked to him, I think it was during his whole feud with Joe Rogan. So I mean, he was aware of how comedians felt about him.
Right. But that's what I mean. Like, do you?
I asked him about him.
Right. But that's what I mean. Like, do you ease into that sort of thing? Or do you just like, hey, Carlos, thanks for talking to me. So do you steal stuff? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how do you get around?
How do you go to sleep?
How do you get into that? You know what I mean? And it doesn't necessarily have to be that. But, like, when you're going to ask a question that maybe you don't know how the person's going to react to it.
Well, yeah, obviously you don't start with that.
Right, exactly.
Because then the whole interview could be over.
Right. Basically, we're not good at interviewing people.
Yeah.
So we're just hoping
that when you start the podcast with someone you don't like, say it's a blogger
right.
who you don't much care for. Like, we couldn't get anybody else this week.
Yeah.
Really, we couldn't. I mean, we had three people.
No, not true. You have the best comedy blog on all of the internet, as far as I can tell. Second, and we're second. That's, I believe, is how that works.
Yeah. Huh. Not if you believe the readership, but I mean, but I think, you know, if you really look at my parents, they will tell you it's a good blog.
The comic is where I go first for all my comedy news. That's not, I'm not casing ass. It's not hyperbole. That's if I need to know something, I'm going to check that first.
Well, thank you. Although that makes me feel like I'm doing something wrong sitting here with you guys. I should be out there getting some more news for you to read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We're going to take a quick break while you do that. And then when we get back in 45 seconds, we'll see what you got. But we're going to go to break this time. Normally, we give you a little commercial, but this time we're going to go to a little comedy bit by a group called Team Submarine.
Who we talked to at Sketchfest, and they were hilarious. So,
yeah, they're really good guys.
So listen to that, and we'll be right back.
All right.
I'm not terrible at writing jokes.
Yes, you
great
are.
Great at it. What about that joke I wrote in the kitchen, huh?
With the sandwich joke?
Yeah, that was like joke of the century.
No, it wasn't the joke of the century.
Yes, it was. That thing was comic bronze.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, well, we got an entire audience here to judge what is and isn't funny.
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
But you want me to tell your joke?
Well, you're the one who's saying it's not funny, so why don't you go
okay.
prove that?
All right, fine. Here we go. Here's the hilarious joke that Nate told in the kitchen. Okay, so I'm sitting in the living room and I'm eating a turkey sandwich, mm-hmm. and as I'm prone to do, I enjoy dipping it in applesauce.
That is gross. Someone needs to put Steve in his place with a joke.
Okay,
enter
fine.
Nate.
Okay, fine. So I'm in the living room. I'm eating a turkey sandwich and I'm dipping it in applesauce. And Nate walks in and he says, "Hey, Steve, the only time you're going to see fruit on my meat is if I were to have sex with a dude." There you go. There's the really funny joke. There's the hilarious joke that Nate told.
That was basically the joke. I mean...
No, that was the exact same joke.
You got the wording right, but
no,
your delivery
I told
was
exactly like
half-assed
you did.
And not that good. You kind of botched it a little bit, so it probably didn't seem as funny as it was when I said
Okay, fine. Why don't we hear your version of the joke, then?
Okay, fine. Here we go. This is what happened. So Steve's in the kitchen, okay, and he's making a sandwich. And then I just strut in and I say, "Hey, listen, applesauce.
Called me applesauce.
Did I say applesauce?
Is my name applesauce?
No, that was my impression of you messing
you did,
up
no,
the joke.
You just, so. You just chastised me for delivering the joke poorly, and then you just messed up the joke.
Okay, so here's what happened. So Steve's in the kitchen making an applesauce, and I walk into the sandwich, and I say...
You walked into the sandwich.
No, I didn't walk in. You can't walk into a sandwich. You're not big enough, okay? So,
okay.
So what happened is... All right, so So Steve walks into the kitchen, and I'm fucking a dude. And
wait, then what?
That's not what happened. So Steve fucks into the kitchen, and there I am
fucked in the
sandwich.
The kitchen?
No, you didn't fuck into the kitchen. So Steve's got a fuckwitch, and he's putting it in fuckle sauce. And then I say to the fuckwitch, I say, listen to you, Steve. The only type of fuck you're going to see my sandwich is when I'm fucking a sandwich. And the only sandwich you're going to see, you know what? Let's take a timeout real quick. I'm just going to take a few steps back and just get myself back on the train.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Okay,
take
so here we go.
Time you need.
Hi, my name is Nate Fernald. This is Steve O'Brien.
No,
we are Team Submarine. Thank you for coming.
No,
to
we
show.
Can't start the whole show over.
We
Nate.
Need to start it from the top
no,
so I can get back online.
No, we're not going
to
do that.
And we're back.
Hey, we're back here with Sean McCarthy, the Comics Comic.
So we had a plan of talking about comedy festivals, and mm-hmm. we still might.
Yeah.
But we got talking during the break
mm-hmm.
About, you know, one of the things we were talking about before the break was interviewing those famous comedians and talking about sort of getting into, you know, during the break we're talking about getting into their minds and what was going on with them. And one of the things we started talking about was Carlos Mencia
mm-hmm.
And his joke thievery.
Let's say alleged.
Alleged joke thievery.
We've seen the
comparison.
But yeah, but we've often heard. I mean, there is such a thing as, look, I think he steals. But I'm just saying to, as journalistically, I believe, if I'm right, Sean, this is kind of what you have to say, that allegedly he steals material. And there is such a thing as, what is that called? Parallel thinking, where kind of two people come up with the same thing at the same time. Or you come up with something not realizing that someone else has come up with it before. But yeah, allegedly he's often been accused. Joe Rogan, famous comedian, has accused him of stealing. So I think we can safely say that Joe Rogan said it.
In his defense,
yeah,
I have heard Christopher Titus tell a joke that I told.
Right.
And I did not hear him tell it first.
Mm-hmm.
And I doubt that he was in the back of the room when I was telling it. So I can see it happen. I mean, he literally used words that I used.
Right.
So, you know, that parallel thing happens. It happened to me. And it sucked because it was my closing bit and I couldn't use it anymore because he had used it. But it does definitely happen.
I don't know the joke you're talking about. But there are some times where there's stuff that you could kind of see how two people come up with it. And like, for instance, when Jerry Garcia died, I remember Jay Leno and David Letterman told basically the same joke, where his ashes were sprinkled into a river, and I believe Letterman said, you know, and the fish were told don't operate machinery for 45 minutes or something, and the Leno joke was like very similar to that. So I don't, you know, they didn't steal from each other. Obviously, they just came up with the same joke. But sometimes things are, you know, it's like, well, I don't really know if two people could have come up with that idea at the same time. Sean, you have something to say, so I'm gonna stop talking.
Oh, I was gonna say that one of the bits Mencia was supposed to have stolen was such a generic hack premise in itself. The one about the U.S. wanting to build a wall along the border for Mexico, but who are they gonna get to build the wall?
Right.
But several comedians have been on tape saying that exact joke.
Mm-hmm. Right. So is it's it not,
now you spoke to him during this whole period of time where he was accused of this. What was going on with him? What was his thought process during this time?
He was just very defensive and said, you know, anyone's entitled to their opinions, and kind of, you know, when you become famous, there are people who hate you and they're just going to try to bring you down no matter how they can or whatever means necessary they're going to mm-hmm. do. But the first thing I ever heard about Carlos Mencia, before he had a Presents, before he had his own TV show on Comedy Central, before I even saw him on stage, the first thing I ever heard about Carlos Mencia was a club owner telling me what a joke thief he was.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard these allegations years later, I was like, of course.
Yeah.
Even the club owners.
Right.
So in that case, it probably wasn't a case of jealous because he was successful, because it was happening before he was successful.
It was more people saw him becoming successful off of the jokes that other mm-hmm. successful comedians had said before. Just repackaging them into a D2D.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, formula. Too. Taking it and then watering it down or you know, or crassing it up or something to make it, you know, more palatable to a lesser audience.
Yeah.
Let's say that. Because I did see, there was a video of Carlos Mencia, and we were talking about this during the break, where somebody took a Cosby bit from the 70s and played that, and then the video of Carlos comes up, and he's basically telling the same bit. The Cosby bit is about, he's talking about a football player and how, you know, you're the dad and you raise this and you go out there and you play with him every single day, blah, 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 blah. And then he wins the Super Bowl. And the first thing he says when they stick the microphone in his face is, hey, thanks, mom. You know, and the Cosby bit's like, but that's okay. You know, and he keeps doing it, but that's okay. And then Carlos tells basically the same joke, but instead of saying, but that's okay as the punchline, he screams, you stupid bitch. That was his contribution to the Cosby bit. Right. So, and now maybe a whole generation, that's the way they know that version.
I mean, do you think that it's possible that he just never heard it?
It's possible.
You know?
No, because that's the bit that you're citing is from Bill Cosby himself, which is Bill Cosby's most famous special from 1984, I believe, in...
That's what I was going to say.
Everybody has seen it.
It's possible.
Everybody has seen that Bill Cosby special.
It's improbable. Let's say that. It's possible but improbable that he hadn't heard that before. And then he would tell the bit in such a similar way. Seems highly unlikely.
For some reason, I was just thinking of, what's her face? The punk rock chick singer.
Oh, that one. Which one?
The girl with
Avril Lavigne?
Yeah.
Okay.
And how she couldn't say like Billy Idol or something, or like Bob Dylan, like she got it wrong, and she's like, "Well, I'd never heard of the guy." Right. And it's like, how do you?
You're
a famous musician, and you know, I mean, and I'm just wondering, like, because in my head, I was like, "Well, maybe he didn't," but then I was like, "He stole from the two people who I know that he's accused from stealing from is George Lopez and Bill Cosby," and it's like, I don't know how you become a comedian, like I don't know how you become a young Hispanic comedian and have not. I've not heard a lot of George Lopez, but if I were a young Hispanic comedian, I would venture to say that I probably would have thrown on a CD or two.
I don't want to throw out more rumors, but isn't Carlos Mencia also another thing people hate about him? Isn't he not Hispanic? Isn't he like German?
It's half. He's half.
He's half. Okay. All right. I had heard that he wasn't at all. I mean, like his real name is not Carlos Mencia. It's like George something.
I can't fault somebody for changing their name for entertainment. So even Bob Dylan's name. Bob Dylan's name isn't Bob Dylan.
Yeah. Bob Denver.
I'm done.
He's freaking out.
Yeah. I just took off my headphones. I've only ever worn once.
But obviously, you know, he couldn't get a folk or a rock audience to respond to Zimmerman, so he changed it to Dylan.
But I mean, like, again, having spoken to those two comedians at the prime of what was going on in their lives, now, they are where most comedians would aspire to be with their career. You know, I mean, say all you want about Carlos Mencia, but he was probably the top Hispanic comedian. You know, he was like, it was not nearly as funny of a show as Chappelle's show, but it did just as well in the ratings for most of the time. I mean, not just as well, but it did pretty well. And Dane Cook is at the top of the game. You know, how were they still radically unhappy because of what was happening to them? Or, you know, do you feel like they were felt confident enough that they weren't saddened by how their career was turning out?
Well, I think they're two different cases. I think Carlos, I can't say that I know. I still even now know what's going on in his head to know what Carlos thinks or if he even cares. Dane, I mean. The last time I talked to Dane, he had so much going on in his life over the past few years, losing both of his parents, you know, finding out your half brother has stolen millions of dollars from you, and then to pile on top of that, his movie career, which hasn't gone that great, and then all these other haters. So you have all that on your back, but then at the same time, you're going out and you're performing in front of 18,000 screaming fans a night. Mm-hmm. So he's had to process a lot of that, and it's interesting to see like what kind of effect that has on his comedy.
That I find Dane Cook, and I don't know how you feel about this.
We know.
No. I'm gonna. We know. I say because we did a whole shower. I was basically fighting against him the whole time.
Because you thought he was too sexy.
but anyway, I mean, I find him to be a very... I feel very conflicted about him. Because I actually don't hate him. I actually find him to be a very likable personality.
That's part of what's made him so famous, is his likability.
But I just wish he was funnier. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he has all the goods, like he could be, but then I watch his stuff and it's just not that funny. It's funny. It's not terrible. If I paid $5 right. and saw it in a club, I wouldn't leave mad.
How do you tell a person who's standing in front of 60,000 screaming fans who are loving everything you do, you know what, you're really not that funny? It's like, well, these 60,000 people would disagree with you.
Now, what if we took this exact same discussion, instead of talking about Dane Cook, we're having a podcast about music and talking about the Jonas Brothers.
Right.
And saying, all of you thousands of screaming girls, you're wrong.
Right. Well, first of all,
they're wrong.
It's kind of the same thing in a way. You know, for young kids, these teenagers and college kids, Dane Cook is their entry into the world of comedy.
But my fear is they stop there. Do you think they keep going and find better stuff?
Then they're shit fans. I mean,
But I'm saying, like, if you're like, oh wow, stand-up comedy is great because of Dane Cook, and then a few years later I'll go on and discover Patton Oswalt and other people who are great, or are they just Dane Cook fans for the rest of their lives?
I think, continuing my argument that it's the same as music, I think it's a little bit of both. Some people have such an infatuation with Dane or with the Jonas Brothers that they'll like that, or they'll end up being exposed to their friends. Like Dane, one of the things Dane has really done well the last couple of years is he's brought his longtime comedy friends on tour with him,
mm-hmm.
and given them a chance to perform night after night to tens of thousands of people. So, I mean,
that's the thing. I agree. Like, I find all of that great. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh man, that's what a really great guy. That's really commendable. I just wish when I watched you do stand-up, I laughed more because I just don't know, you know, like, I don't know. And look, I don't begrudge him his success. He found a way to do it. Congratulations. That's great. Like, I mean, in a way, I feel kind of like the Jonas Brothers where I'm like, it's not my thing. Like, that's fine. I'm not going to get mad about it. But I just like, in that example, I really want to like the Jonas Brothers and I just can't bring myself to do it. You know what I mean? I just wish that he had started out, you know, doing this and it sort of progressed and become a better comic, but I don't see that happening. You know what I mean? You know, you don't have to answer.
I think you want to hate him.
Oh, shut up.
The response to that is, why are you so worked up about that?
I'm not really.
Snap. He just got you.
Well, I mean, because
go sit down in the corner.
Because I love comedy, and he is super successful, and he a lot of times, I think to a lot of people, is the face of stand-up comedy.
Right.
And so I want him to be a better ambassador.
Right, but he's also kicking down the door for a bunch of people who would not have otherwise watched comedy. So if
right,
not,
that's great. That's commendable. I just wish that, you know, I want to like him. And I do like him. I don't hate him, but whatever.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, when we, as comedy nerds, look at comedy, we come into it with a very slanted point of view. We have things that we like, things that we don't like. You look at it as more of a journalist.
Right.
Where do you see comedy going? I mean, do you think it's getting better? Do you think it's getting more diverse? Do you think it's getting more watered down? Like, when you look at it, and you don't have to answer across the board if there are aspects that you think are getting better or worse, or, you know, I mean, what do you feel is the state of comedy today?
Ooh, I think we're in another mini boom of comedy, and a lot of it is the times we're living in that we just need to laugh more. But it's also the internet has opened up the playing field for everybody. You look at a guy like a kid like Bo Burnham,
mm-hmm.
who just through the power of making videos in his parents' house and putting them on YouTube has gotten an agent, manager, hit record on Comedy Central, special on Comedy Central. He's working on a movie with Judd Apatow. And that's all just in the last 2 years.
No. Yeah,
and that's just from YouTube. He didn't have a comedy festival helping him get discovered. Although he was in Montreal last year at Just for Laughs in Montreal as part of their music comedy show, but he had already lined up his agent, manager, and all that stuff beforehand.
I mean, he's funny, but he wasn't, you know. To me, he's not, you know, overnight.
He's not Dane Cook funny.
No, I'm not, saying he's not Dane Cook funny, but I mean, like,
he's not Jonas.
You want to hate him, is what you're trying to say.
No, I'm trying to say what made it so that, you know, of the 12,000 or 12 million clips on YouTube, the people actually started going there. I mean, was it that he was so funny that he couldn't be stopped? Or, like, what do you think made, you know, because to say, like, YouTube allows you to put funny clips up on the web and then become successful of it, I mean, let's face it, you know, the three of us have all watched many, many, many funny things from people who no one's ever heard of ever, and who've gotten nothing from it. Like, what do you think made that one jump out?
I think the music probably helped a lot. I think, you know, musical clips tend to go viral easier on there, and he was really clever. And the kids could relate to it. Seriously, though, I mean, I think that kind of helped stand out. I don't know how much of a role YouTube itself had to play in it in terms of going, hey, let's put this on the featured page, and then that gets more eyeballs. I mean, talking about where comedy is now, I have this discussion a lot with comedians about Funny or Die. Mm-hmm. And Funny or Die has big names, a lot of venture capital money into it, a deal with HBO. And yet, the only time I think people go to Funny or Die, or people talk about Funny or Die, is when they have a celebrity clip.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, when it, yeah.
When they have Lindsay Lohan making fun of herself, or Paris Hilton weighing in on the presidential campaign. They're not going to your video on Funny or Die.
Right. Well, I mean, and the other thing is that, and this relates back to what you were talking about getting readers for a blog or people listening to a podcast, is we're sort of so into this little world that we forget that most people don't do this. You know what I mean? Like, they'll be on the news. It's like, oh, this clip got 2 million views. Yeah, that's a lot of views, and that's a lot of people. If a show was on NBC and got 2 million viewers, it would be canceled the next day. 2 million people is nothing for, like, a television show. You know
what
I mean?
A network
television show, definitely. So it's, you know, it's just a different playing field. You know what I mean? Like, to get 2 million views would be unbelievable online, but it's nothing, you know, in other areas. I mean, most people watch television and they're not going online. You know, my dad doesn't watch, you know, Play Him Off Keyboard Cat or whatever it's called. You know what I mean? Like, so there's a whole...
He doesn't know the Soulja Boy dance?
No. There's a whole world out there, you know what I mean, that's not watching.
Who do you find is your audience for your blog? I mean, I know we've, like... I mean, I've got one guy who listens who's a scientist who listens during experiments, and he loves it, and he's never done comedy. He knows nothing about comedy. He's just like, oh, I never thought about, you know, like, that aspect of it. You know, but I mean, that's just, like, from our side, who do you find are the people who actually not only care about comedy, but care about the business of comedy?
I don't have enough market research to know the demographics in detail. So just anecdotally, I can see that I have pockets of fans in both Australia and the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Who I don't know why they're reading it, but I'm glad I welcome you from around the world. It's the World Wide Web. I can only guess it's because I've featured people who perform over there, or it's a combination of probably that, or they want to see what the American comedians are doing, and there's no Australian website covering comedy in America. I know plenty of comedians read it. I know industry has paid attention to it, whether it's people on television or agents and managers. I know they're paying attention, even if it's just out of sheer interest of what I'm writing about their clients.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know how many just regular mainstream non-nerd comedy fans out there are reading it. I know that when I write about television shows that I get instant readership off of that.
Okay.
So, say there's a new episode of Saturday Night Live. I put up a review on Sunday, and people are coming to the site to find out what I thought about Saturday Night Live. So maybe I should just scrap the comics comic and make it all about Saturday Night Live.
SNL.
We've had a similar
24/7
thing.
SNL coverage.
We've had a similar thing whenever we do a a specific podcast about a show, our listenership goes up tremendously because people, have just watched that show. And we did a top 10 sexiest comedians.
Oh, you damn it. You stole my thing. Okay, go do it.
And our top search term on our website, far and away, is Ryan Reynolds abs.
Ryan Reynolds abs.
Hmm. Yeah. More than comedy, more than any comedian's name.
Yep.
Like, probably...
He does.
Oh, he's got amazing abs.
I have a subscription to Entertainment Weekly.
He has amazing abs.
Yeah.
But it's kind of great because it's like, all these people came to the site. At that time, it's a little disheartening to be like, we put in all this work to try to like talk about comedy, and Ryan Reynolds abs is the number one thing that comes up.
I had a similar experience writing about Last Comic Standing last season. I could see this people coming. The good thing is I saw people coming as soon as a comedian showed up on screen. Like the nights where I was sitting at home watching it live or watching tape live on NBC, a comedian would show up on screen with their name, and then within the next couple minutes I'd see people coming to my site because they had Googled that comedian's name and I had written more about that person than anybody else. But then I also, throughout the season last year, over and over again, people Googling Eliza Schlesinger boobs and Esther Koo naked, the two women on last season's show, and they
people looking for
images,
right?
I had witty commentary.
But
about
do you
the
think
boobs.
Now to write sentences like Esther Koo has never been naked, as far as I know, the jet again, people to come.
I did.
No, you're a journalist. You have integrity. You wouldn't.
Whereas have some we integrity. Don't. So
I did.
We're going to do that.
Absolutely.
I will. I'm not. This is not an admission because it's on the internet. You can look it up right now. You can Google Esther Koo has no pants, and you'll see that I've written an interview with her about. And I mentioned how one time before she was on the show, and we were both living in Boston, I had her pants off.
Okay.
So.
That sounds like something nice. I will Google when I get home. That sounds fantastic.
Sounds like something that you should tell us slowly to sexy music.
Yeah.
I once had Esther Koo's pants.
Nice.
Ball.
Sweet.
Oh, no, in detail.
Yeah. No,
they were white pants.
That's right. I'll just set up
they were white.
I'll set up a Google alert for Esther Koo, no pants.
No.
Whenever that
And after
up.
You leave, we'll tell a fan fiction story about it. And...
A stand-up comedy fan fiction. That's possibly the most pathetic thing I could imagine in the world.
Coming up next on the comedy.
They say like, whatever crazy thing you think of, you can find it somewhere on the internet.
Yeah.
I bet that you could not.
Yeah, I don't know if you could. Like, she did her bit about Whole Foods, and then our eyes met. I can't imagine that happening. Although, probably will now, because someone will hear this and do it.
No, they won't. No one will ever hear it. What? I think we're about out of time.
Oh, no.
Oh.
This has been so much fun.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Don't stop.
I hate time and the fact that it passes.
Can we edit out the end? Can we just...
No.
Make it so there is no end? Is there a trick to editing?
Just have it.
Oh, we could just start streaming this live from now on for the rest of our lives.
Yeah,
but I think we'll need sponsors.
Yeah.
Because I have food I need to buy.
Yeah.
And rent.
I have a job I have to go to.
I don't get paid at work anyway.
I have something to blog.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we will end it. Fine. You win, universe. And your concept of... time passage. Now I'm saying random words.
Did you get a telegram?
Esther Koo, no pants. I got a telegram. Shut up, Sean. Don't report to me.
Stop.
So because we're out of time, we have to get you back on again soon because normally this podcast is about arguing comedy topics.
Yeah.
And I feel like we did not do that as much as I would have liked to have done it. I really wanted to debate and like really just bring your nerd out.
Yeah, but we talked about so much good stuff.
No, we talked about great stuff. I love every minute of this podcast. I'm just saying that while...
Every minute?
Yeah. Well, not the part where we're talking about communication in early.
That part was great. My favorite minute was minute 9. I thought that was my favorite part of the podcast. I made a note. That was a good minute of the podcast.
Yeah, so we got to get you back on again soon because we got to come up with a super comedy nerd topic because you have all that knowledge.
All right, well, Sean, thank you so much for being on the show. Where can people find you?
Find me on the internet at thecomicscomic.com.
Fantastic website that has all the comedy news you could possibly need.
Just put it in your Google Reader, as mentioned earlier.
Do it. And what's going on at the Comics Comic that we should know about?
I've got a lot of great videos from the Chicago Just for Laughs Comedy Festival that I recently attended. And look for new interviews on the internet with Bob and David, Andy Dick, Jim Jeffries, a lot more.
Cool. Those are all good people.
And also, don't forget to come to our show on Friday.
tell them
next
where
Friday,
that is.
Yes, at Coco 66 in Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow the link. We'll probably finally be putting something up to promote it on the website in the next couple of days.
That is July 10th.
July 10th.
And can we say who's going to be there?
Not confirmed.
Not yet. Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right.
Well, once we confirm that, you're going to hear about it. But we got a lot of good people who we're just waiting to confirm. So that's going
to
be great.
So in the immediate, go to the Comics Comic, check it out, learn a bunch of stuff, and then next Friday, go to our show and watch a bunch of stuff.
Now you have your marching orders, listeners.
Yes.
thank you, guys. Sean, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
And we're Comedy Nerds. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to the Comedy Nerds. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at info@thecomedynerds.com. Check out our website at thecomedynerds.com where you can comment on any past episodes. And if you enjoyed this show, please write a review in iTunes and tell the world how awesome we are. For Dustin and myself, thank you for listening.